Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Even though you may think urban areas are more polluted or the bus areas in the city, the truth is pollution is everywhere. No matter where you live, the quality of the air you breathe impacts you every single day. What can you do to protect yourself and your family from pollution? Can you do anything? My guest is Janice Nolan. She's Assistant Vice President of National Policy at the American Lung Association. Welcome to the show, Janice. Tell us a little bit about the pollution that's everywhere. People think of air quality. They see ozone alerts and air quality in the summer. Tell us about pollution and how we possibly can avoid it, if we can.
You're right. Air pollution can be anywhere, and it can blow long distances, as we're seeing right now when you're looking out at the wildfires, for example, in the Northwest. They're blowing hundreds of miles across the country. So, but we have had good improvement in air quality, but we still have lots of areas that have unhealthy levels of ozone, which is sometimes called smog, and particle pollution, which are tiny bits of things that can be inhaled and can be lethal.
Okay, so it's not just standing behind a bus in the city when you get that from the cars and everything. It's really anywhere in the suburbs or even out in the country, there's air pollution and air quality problems. How do we know if we're breathing this stuff in, and do we all want to walk around with those air filter masks on?
Well, no, you don't want to walk around with a mask. Fortunately, we have better air quality in this country than a lot of places where they have to use every tool like that. But you can check the air quality forecast in your community and see how it is going to be. But you should also know that even, as you mentioned, being near a major roadway and sources heavy-duty traffic like that can be a source that isn't always captured. Sometimes those near roadway problems are really high pollution. So you don't want to do your daily jog along those highways, for example. But you can check the air quality forecast and see what it says and let you know whether it's a safe day to really have a good exercise outside. You can do that by airnow.gov or the State of the Air app you can download on your phone.
I always wonder about those people. I'm an exercise physiologist, and I see them jogging along the highway or sometimes paths along the train tracks, and you're like, ew, because you just know that every time they're just breathing in, they're increasing their VO2 and their oxygen consumption and breathing in all that crap. I'd much rather walk or jog in the woods or someplace like that. Do the tree areas tend to have less pollution because plants create oxygen?
Well, sometimes they do, but it's mostly because they're further away or because they are areas where they're more remote, because sometimes we'll be in, for example, national parks where there are lots of trees and there's also lots of pollution because the pollution gets blown into those areas. So when you were talking about being on top of a mountain, sometimes places like the Great Smoky Mountains can have really high levels of pollution, primarily because they're blown into those areas from sources like cities and power plants.
Well, I've even heard that, you know, you'd think that Colorado, being in the mountains and all, would be such a great non-polluted place, but Denver being one of the more polluted cities in the country because it's like down in a valley, right?
The valleys can make a difference. We see that a lot in places like California, especially where a lot of sources are there and they just can't escape. They can't blow away. But it's also because we have a lot of urban sources. We have a lot of traffic. We have industry. We have power plants. And all of those are cooking where lots of people are. And they help to create a lot of pollution. And so you'll have areas where you think, well, that's a beautiful area. And it is. And we have reduced pollution. I want to make sure that's clear because we've made a huge progress in that. We're not where we need to be. In places like Denver and other cities, Chicago, I have pollution problems that we're still struggling to clean up.
What can we do? As parents, we worry about our children and what we're handing them down in this environment and all the stupid controversy over climate change. Clearly, the climate is changing and we're polluting our environment. What can we do to help keep ourselves and our kids from being in those polluted areas? Is there anything we can do?
Absolutely. Some things to begin with are make sure you know what the air quality forecast is for the day. Check that, especially if your child is going to be outside playing. You want to make sure, sometimes we think it's only people with asthma, but kids, anybody up until their lungs are fully grown, anybody over the age of 65, people with cardiovascular problems, diabetics, are all people who need to be widely aware of what their air quality is like. And then another thing you can do is let your member of Congress know that you support steps to clean up air pollution. There's been a lot of controversy. We've had a 45-year-old law, the Clean Air Act, that's worked incredibly well to help us reduce pollution. But every time we try to take some new steps to follow that law and clean it up, it gets a lot of pushback. So letting your member of Congress, your governor, your state legislatures know that you really support these clean air steps can make a big difference. And then, of course, make sure you're reducing the emissions you produce. Take mass transit rather than driving, for example. Don't burn wood if you can outside or in your home, because that adds pollution. So there are lots of things that individuals can do to make a huge difference in reducing pollution.
I agree. We have to reduce our own, as they call it, the carbon footprint, and doing those things, taking mass transit, that sort of thing. Now, I know this is a bit off topic, but Janice, why do you think this is so controversial? Why do people not see what's right in front of their face?
This is something we have seen for decades. I mean, we've had the Clean Air Act that was adopted when the nation had huge amounts of pollution that were very visible across the country in 1970. And since then, it's been an incredible law that's helped us to clean up. But every time as we get cleaner air and we say, you know, what we know is the science is saying we need to do more, we need to provide more protection, there's always a pushback. There's always folks who are the sources of the problem who are saying, no, that's really not true. We're not in unhealthy air. And we have found that to be the case for 45 years. So it doesn't surprise me that this same message keeps getting repeated.
Do you have some websites you'd like to promote that can give people some of these examples that you've given us about taking mass transit and not burning wood, other things that they can do to reduce the pollution?
Absolutely. There's our lung.org site, lung.org. And the stateoftheair.org site, which tells you actually grades on your local air pollution. You can look it up and type in your zip code and find out how your community, what its grade you got for air pollution, and also how it ranked, and then what you can do about it. So stateoftheair.org and lung.org are two good sites.
Lung.org and stateoftheair.org. And if you want to see how the air in your area is, you can go to airnow.gov and check these things out. So, Janice, in the last couple of minutes, tell us about indoor air pollution. What can people do inside their homes? As you said about burning wood, we think that goes up the chimney, but really you're getting some of that stuff. Do you believe in air filters? Do they work? Is opening our windows more detrimental or less? Speak about the indoor stuff a little bit.
Well, there's a great area because 90% of the time we're indoors, and so we're breathing a lot of the air that's in our homes. And the most important thing is to control the source. If you can do things like don't smoke inside, make sure that you're using chemicals that are the least emitting chemicals, and make sure that your house has good ventilation. Those are the kinds of things that are really effective at reducing pollution indoors, controlling the source and increasing ventilation. Make sure, for example, that the vents work in your bathroom so that the water moisture that gets there is actually pulled outside and not just left to form mold and dampness. Air filters can help if you've already tried all of these other things and you're only interested in getting particles out, because they don't get rid of gas emissions like that. But one thing people need to be aware of is there's a carcinogen that may not be it's not visible, but may be in your home, and that's radon. And you have to test for that. And you can test and figure out whether you have elevated levels of radon. Radon causes lung cancer. It's the leading cancer killer for non-smokers. It is the leading cancer killer for any environmental cause. And it's a huge problem that people aren't taking seriously enough. So we'd say this is control the sources, add ventilation, and make sure you test for radon.
That's great information. Stateoftheair.org, lung.org, and airnow.gov. We all need to reduce our own carbon footprint. So take some of these examples and make it a better world for everyone. This is Melanie Cole. We've got more great show coming up. Stay well.